everybody. It's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fly Longer podcast. We hope at the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy.
Good morning, Flood Church family. Such a pleasure to be with you this morning. We're going to jump straight into the Word. And in case you haven't joined us over the last few weeks, we are in the middle of a series that we're calling Now You See Him. And today I'm going to be talking about when God's ways are different from what we are used to. When God's ways are different from our ways. And we're going to jump straight into the Word this morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 21 to 31. Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 to 31. And this is the Word of the Lord. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots, so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Now, verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that you speak to us, speak to our hearts. We ask that your word comes alive and that it ministers to our needs. It ministers to the depths of our souls, and that we may feel encouraged, we may feel comforted, and that you may meet us at our very points of needs this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Now, I think all of us have been in a place whereby maybe we're in a difficult situation and we are praying for God to take us out of that situation. And so many times, I mean, this normally happens to me a lot, and maybe some of you could relate. Maybe I'm stuck in a situation and I'm praying about it. But most of the times I discover that I'm praying for God to take me out, but in my head I already have a way out. And probably my prayer is me trying to get God to put a stamp on what I'm thinking is the right way out. So most of the times it's always like, yeah, God, please help me through this. But in my head, I'm like, I know the way out of this. You know, I always kind of feel like I'm in control. And I think it happens to a lot of us. We always have ways that we feel probably are the best way out of situations. And I think sometimes we don't recognize God's movement or activity in our lives because the answer normally comes in a package which we're not expecting. So because in my head, I already know what I want this to look like or how I want God to take me out of the situation. Sometimes God is moving. He's working in our lives, but then we don't realize it because we thought he was going to do it in another way. So we see this tension in the story that we just read, where Israel are in a difficult situation. They're in a cul-de-sac. The Egyptians are coming behind them. The full mighty army of Pharaoh coming behind them. On the sides are the mountains. They can't turn to the left or to the right. And in front of them is the mighty Red Sea. Now you can imagine how stuck these guys were. And the Bible says, if you read the whole chapter, and Pastor Humphries was teaching on that last week, they begin to complain when they see that, we are in a tight spot. They start complaining to Moses, were there no graves in Egypt? Why did you take us out to die in the wilderness? Now, I want to submit to you this morning that probably the reason why the Israelites were complaining is not because they doubted that God was able. Because these are people who had seen God take them out of Egypt. You remember the story, the plagues, how he had demonstrated his power for them to just leave Egypt. But now they're in a place whereby they really cannot see a way out. So the tension is there. But I want to submit that probably the issue was not that they had forgotten that God is able, but probably it's because they could not see a way out in a way that they thought would work. They could not see a way out based on their understanding. You remember where we started earlier around how sometimes we always have a way out that we are thinking of and we expect God to come through in that way. Now, in this case, they simply could not see a way out. And we normally ask a question, right? When we are stuck in a situation, how is this going to happen? How am I going to pay my rent this month? How am I going to meet the wage bill? How am I going to fix this? So we become so consumed with the question how. But perhaps the problem is when our minds become preoccupied by the question how, we lose sight of the who. Now we become focused on how it's going to happen, how we think it should happen, and we lose sight of who is in control. Now I think that the reason why we struggle with this is we always feel like we are in control, and God sometimes is calling us to a place whereby we surrender that control that we think we have, and we can just look up to him as the only one who can save us. So that's the situation that the Israelites are in. But let's look at this a little bit deeper. Now, in verse 13, when people start complaining, Moses reassures them. He says, stand still. Today you will see the salvation of the Lord. You do not even need to fight this battle. Now, this is again where the problem is, because God is introducing a new way, a new concept of how to fight battles. Now, if you go to the previous chapter, in chapter number 13, verses 17 to 18, let me quickly read that. Now, this is how the journey and why God took them this way. Now, the Bible says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country that was shorter. Problem number one. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Problem number two. So the Israelites, when God is taking them out, in their minds, the way that made sense was the shorter way, right? We always want the shorter way. You know, I was sharing with Maddy this past week that I struggle with the concept of waiting, right? We always want it shorter. We want it quicker. So that was the easy way for them. Now the Bible says God chose not to take them through the easy way. So that's the first problem. The second problem is the Bible says when they went out, they thought our way to Canaan was going to be fighting our way through until we get there. So in their minds, they already had a way. They thought this was going to happen. This journey was going to work. Now God introduces a radical concept when he says through Moses in chapter 14, stand still. You don't need to fight this. In their minds, they're like, we need to fight. But they knew they were never going to defeat the Egyptians. So they were worried because of that. Now, I strongly feel and believe that our panic and complaining when we're faced with difficult situations is often a realization that we cannot get ourselves out. And it is in those moments that God is calling us to let go, to surrender our control, the control we think we have, and hand over the reins of power to him and say, listen, I know my way is probably not going to work. I need to look to your way. And it's always a challenge for us when God wants to do things in his way and not our way. So now the question that I had when I was reading this is, So why does God often act in ways that are different from ours? Why doesn't he just do the simple thing and say, okay, Will, what are you thinking? Oh, I think we should do it this way. It's like, okay, cool, let's do it that way. No, God sometimes would work in a way that is so different from our ways. So what do we do when we are on a journey, just like the Israelites, and God is now calling us or is now leading us in a way that is different from what we thought he would? That is where the problem comes, because now it requires us, like I said, to relinquish all control and put all our trust in him. And that's always a struggle for the human mind. Now, I have five quick ways I will share with you why God often acts in ways that are different from ours. Number one, because his ways are always better than ours. I think we just need to start there. He is way smarter. He's way cooler. He's way more powerful. I mean, his ways are better than ours. Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. And then he goes further. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, his ways are higher. They are better. So that is why he always acts in ways that are different from our ways, because he's saying, listen, I have a better plan for your life than you think you have. And I think maybe we need to get to a place where we believe and understand that God is more invested in our well-being than we are invested in our own well-being. Ooh. That he cares more for us than we even care for ourselves. That he loves us more than we even love ourselves. I think we just need to get to that point. And that is why we can trust his ways, because his ways are better. Why are his ways better? Because he has a plan for our lives, a plan for our good and not for our harm. He cares for us more than we imagine. Number two, because he is the way. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except if I take him there. So he's saying, listen, while you can look for many other ways to do things, I am the way. So what this means is, everything we do that is not in him, that is outside of him, is futile. It is of no use. It is of no benefit, because ultimately he is the way. And I think this is such an encouraging thing to know, that we can put our trust in him, because he's not trying another way. He's not trying to see whether his way works, but because he is the ultimate way. He is the one and true way. Man, I find so much comfort in that. He is the way. So that is the second reason why he does things different from us, why he acts differently from us. Number three, because he's also inviting us to experience him in a fresh way. Now, verse 31 of the chapter where we read, I'm going to read that again, because this is where the next 3 points, the last 3 points are coming from. Now it says, when the Israelites saw, number one, the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, number two, and put their trust in him. So, the third reason why God is going to act in a way that's different from our way is he simply wants us to experience him in a fresh way. Now, the word saw in that verse literally means to experience. So they were not just seeing and were not part of it. No, they were seeing, but God was inviting them into an experience, so that through whatever they were seeing God doing, it was not just about the show, the lights, camera, and action. No, it was God saying to them, I want you to experience my power, my movement, my activity in a new way, so that when you see what's happening, I'm inviting you into something deeper than just observing or watching a movie, but I want you to experience this, so that you may know that this is the life that God is calling us into. So he's inviting us, friends, when he calls us or when he leads us in a way different from our ways, to experience him in a create memories. Right? If you go on a road trip or do something special, there's something about being on a journey together that creates memories, which build intimacy. And this is what God is calling us to. And lastly, number five, God is inviting us to put our trust in him. Not in our ways, but to put our full trust in him. That is what God is inviting us to do. Now, Pastor Humphreys over the last few weeks, shared something powerful around how clarity is not top of God's priorities, but our trust is. And I just want to reemphasize that and say, friends, in fact, in the moments when we are not clear on the how, when our ways don't seem to make sense, that is exactly when God is inviting us into moments of deeper trust in Him. When we have no clarity, that is exactly a cue for you to realize that God is calling me to trust Him even more. So friends, as we wrap this up, maybe you're sitting at home today and you're going through a difficult situation, or you're wondering how God is going to take you out, or maybe you've tried so many ways but it's simply not working. Maybe this morning, friend, God is inviting you and is challenging you to say, can you allow me to lead you in a different way? Can you allow me to do it in a way that you were not expecting, a way that is not your way, because my way is better than yours? I want to encourage you today, whatever situation that you are going through, it is not the end of the world. God still has one more move, and He's inviting you to say, listen, allow me to play my move by placing your trust in me, by allowing me to take you on this journey. And I can assure you that we know how the story ends. The story has already been written, and it ends in victory, because that is what Christ has promised us. So as we wrap this up, I want to invite you, wherever you are, you're watching in your growth group, you're watching with your family, I have a couple of questions that I want to invite you to just get to do a reflection over this morning. And the first question that I want to ask you to think about is this. What are some of the ways or the patterns in your life that are like second nature to you, or that have become so fixed in your life? You know, and we all have a lot of those. Now, the second question is, this season, obviously with the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of the way we used to do life has changed. So in what ways has this season changed the way you do life? What has changed? How are you doing life differently in this season? And I know we all have stories around how our lives have changed. But the whole reason why we want to talk about those two questions is leading up to the third question, which is where I hope we can do a lot more reflection to say, so maybe in this season, friends, what are some of the old ways, or my ways which I think are good, which I think are best, that God is challenging me to let go of today? What is God challenging you? What way is God challenging you to let go of so that you may experience Him in a fresh way today, regardless of the situation that you are in? So take some time to talk about that, and I'll just invite us to pray together as we close this. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because your ways are better than our ways. We thank you because you are always in control. You have never lost control, and you are the one who is leading us day by day. We thank you because you promised us in your word that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we also thank you for the invitation you are giving us this morning to let go of our ways, to let go of our perceived control, to let go and allow you to lead us, to let go and embrace the strength that you bring and embrace your leadership, even as you lead us in a fresh way, in a new way, as we overcome the situations and the challenges we are facing in our lives. So Lord, I thank you for everyone who is listening into this word, for touching their hearts and really inviting us into this moment with you. And we pray that we may step right in and place all our trust in you, as you have called us to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen.
And for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilonge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilonge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.